welcome to the inaugural Inside the MLB podcast. I'm Justin Moore, your host, and sitting next to me is my co-host, Max Chase. Say hello to the internet, Max.
Hey, internet.
Okay, so today in our inaugural edition of the podcast, we'll be talking baseball as always. We'll be discussing the AL and NL West divisions and the overall strength of the division and a team-by-team breakdown. We'll go through the upcoming Hall of Fame announcement and who could possibly get in and our possible votes, although we don't actually have votes. We will answer some of your tweets, because one person actually did send us a question.
We did get a question, yes.
And if you'd like to send your questions, by the way, you can send them to tweet us at JustinMillar1 or send me an email at JustinMillar1@gmail.com. We also discussed a possible Giancarlo Stanton trade, what it would take to get him, as well as who we think are the current World Series favorites. So let's get into it. We'll start off with the American League West, and I guess we'll start off with the worst team, the Houston Astros. We do have some potential that could be pieces in the next contending Astros team, such as Jose Altuve, as mentioned, Jed Lowry, if he can return to health,
right,
and possibly Bud Norris, who I believe has a chance to break out this season. I predicted that last season, but it didn't go so well. We had an okay season.
Cousin of Chuck Norris. Not actually.
So, but I really like the Astros farm system. It's really gone from the bottom of the pack to top of the pack in the last 12 months. Blumhouse and co. has done a great job of stocking of prospects, high-ceiling guys like Lance McCullers and Carlos Correa, as well as some low-ceiling guys, high-floor, lower-ceiling guys like, yeah, I guess you could mention a George Springer or a Mike Fulton-Witch. So overall, I like the Astros' future, but 2013 is definitely a lost year. So yeah. The next team we'll go through is probably AL West fourth place finisher in the Seattle Mariners. The Seattle Mariners they've been seeking a big bat to add to their lineup, and so far their biggest acquisition was Kendrys Morales from the Angels. Their lineup is decent. But they do have somewhat of a clog at first base and catcher and DH with Jesus Montero, John Jaso, Kendrys Morales, and Justin Smoke. One of them will have to sit, and that will likely be Justin Smoke.
Right.
They are moving the fields. The fence is in at Safeco, so there could be more offense, but overall the lineup's just lackluster. The rotation, once you get beyond Felix Hernandez and Hisashi Iwakama, there's not a lot there. Max, what is your take on the Mariners?
You know, the Mariners really, they have a lot of good young players, but they also have a lot of formerly good old players in a little bit of Jason Bay, Raul Ibanez. I mean, those guys, I don't know why they would even want those guys. Like, those kinds of players should be on teams that are contending and need maybe a pinch hitter or something, but they're just wasting years on the Mariners, I think.
I agree. I don't think they're that great acquisitions. Jason Bay and Ibanez would likely be platooning in left field. Bay, of course, facing left-handers, and Ibanez against right-handers. The Mariners have Brendan Ryan at shortstop, who is probably the best defensive shortstop in the league, and on the topic of that, Max, who do you feel are some of the better defensive players in the AL West?
You know, I like Elvis Andrus at short on the Rangers. He has a bright future, and, you know, he's a good fielder. Also, Mike Trout, obviously, is a stud in the outfield for the Angels. Josh Reddick also. I think he broke out last year and no one really expected him to be that good, but he has really stepped up for the A's.
Yeah, Reddick has an incredible arm, and I actually predicted his breakout last year in a piece I wrote last spring, so next we'll segue into the Oakland Athletics, the 2012 AL West Division champion. the A's are a relatively young team. They don't have the on-base core that Billy Beane has been known to make, but they do make up for that with solid defensive skills and quite a bit of slugging percentage. You get that with Yoenis Cespedes, Brandon Moss, Josh Reddick, Chris Carter, Chris Young. They have a lot of guys who they can platoon, and they have quite a bit in that strong outfielders such as Chris, Cespedes, Moss. Well, Moss is more first baseman. Reddick and Young. The rotation is pretty young itself. I think everyone is there. Straley's a rookie. Griffin, Malone, and Parker are second or third years. And Anderson is relatively young. Anderson, of course, is coming off injury, so I think that...
He's always injured.
I think if he can stay healthy, he'll be really pivotal for the Athletics.
Yeah.
Jared Parker also has a strong top-of-the-rotation potential, but aside from Parker and Anderson, I'm not a big fan of the rest of the rotation, as I don't see more than a fifth starter out of Malone or Griffin. And Straley, I'm not really sure what to think of yet, although he is a strikeout machine, as he showed in the minors last year.
I really like their rotation, and I think that their bullpen is pretty underrated. You know, they've got Grant Balfour at closer. He's always been, like, at the Rays. And just, you know, Balfour and Pat Neshek, who used to be just an all-star candidate. And he, you know, he's a good side-armer. Sean Doolittle, he also has a bright future. Sean Doolittle could potentially be good. And Ryan Cook, too, also has a good future.
Yeah, Cook, of course, making the All-Star team last year as a rookie, and Sean Doolittle transitioning to pitcher, and he was lights out last year in his exposure. Next, we'll go to the 89-win Angels, who...
Oh, God.
Were very lucky last year and missed out on a playoff spot, despite some outstanding play from the likes of Mike Trout and Jared Weaver and company. This team is somewhat different from last season, as they were primarily built around the rotation last year, strong pitching depth, five potential guys you could call top-of-the-line starters if you want to be generous for Irvin Santana. But only two of those guys remain, Jared Weaver and C.J. Wilson, with the rest of the rotation being filled out with Tommy Hansen, Jason Vargas, who are trade acquisitions, and free agent signee Joe Blanton. I actually like this rotation. I mean, Weaver's he's a number one or two. If he can keep his fastball velocity up. Wilson, when not injured, is fairly good, as he's shown in Texas in the first half of last season. If Hansen can stay healthy, that's the big question here, but he could be a key third starter here. Vargas, you're going to expect a drop-off from his 2012 numbers with the Mariners, but still, he moves to another pitcher's park, so you can still expect a decent 200 innings out of Vargas. And Blanton, of course, is an innings eater who will post a ERA in the fours. And, you know, innings are exactly what the Angels need right now. And they actually do have some depth with Jerome Williams and Garrett Richards, which is something they particularly lacked last year. Max, what are your thoughts on the Angels' rotation?
You know, innings aren't the only thing that Joe Blanton's been eating. Joe Blanton, in his time with the Dodgers, I observed some of his pitching, and from what I have seen and watched, he is just brutal. I think they'll end up with someone else at the back end of the rotation by the middle of the year.
I think Garrett Richards could actually emerge as that guy, as a former top 100 prospect. He just hasn't been given a really good chance yet. I don't know if you want to do that if you're going to be in the middle of a pennant hunt. The bullpen has drastically improved over last season with the departures of Jason Isringhausen, LaTroy Hawkins, and several others, Jordan Walden. Jerome Williams should be a nice long reliever for them. And then they have, four guys who could possibly vie for a setup spot with Scott Downs, Kevin Jepson, Sean Burnett, and Ernesto Friere. Friere, of course, was the closer of last season and has proven to be dominant, while Burnett is a free agent acquisition who will likely get a bulk share of the eighth inning opportunities. And Ryan Madsen, the free agent signee, who's coming off Tommy John surgery, will likely be the closer for the Angels, but that remains to be seen. Offensively, the Angels lineup projects as one of the best in the game. Mike Trout, of course, will be leading off for the Angels, possibly the best player in baseball. Followed by Eric Ivar, Albert Pujols, Josh Hamilton, Mark Trumbo, Howie Kendrick, Alberto Cayaspo, Chris Iannetta, and Peter Borges. Now, Borges is going to be the big question mark here, as his offense may or may not be good. He was particularly good offensively in 2011, but his defense has claimed to fame. So, Max, what do you think about the Angels lineup?
You know, they have a really strong power-hitting lineup, with also some great speed in Mike Trout and Peter Borges. And, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Mark Trumbo will lead this team in home runs this season. That guy hits moonshots, and he's going to be hard to contain throughout the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that. He has 80 raw power, and as he's shown in the home run derby last year, he was pretty good.
Yes.
Moving on to the Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers.
Who did not win the division last year, but made the wild card and, of course, lost. So, Max, what do you think of this 2013 Rangers team without Josh Hamilton?
You know, they've gotten younger and younger, and I wouldn't be surprised to see this be a lost year for them. Just because they have so many young developing players like Mike Olt and Jurickson Profar that could end up getting some time. Martin Perez is going to be like a rookie, and Alexi Ogando has been converted from the bullpen, so I wouldn't be surprised to see like maybe a 70-80 win season from them.
I'm going to disagree with you there, and actually, I think they could be the AL West champions in 2013. I really like the depth they built up in the bullpen with the acquisitions of Joaquin Soria, Jason Frazier, Josh Lindblom, and others. Their rotation is young, but I love the potential. Yu Darvish could be one of the top pitchers in the league next year. Derek Holland and Matt Harrison, of course, are strong left-handers, and Alexi Ogando and Perez are both quite young, but Ogando has shown he can be decent for the Rangers, as he did in 2011. Perez is... I'm not a huge believer in Perez. His command has really been lacking as he struggled over the last 2 years, but he still is one of the better prospects in baseball, and he does have that potential. Offensively, they do have that hole in their lineup from Josh Hamilton, but I think that they could make up for that with the additions of A.J. Pierzynski, the retaining of Giovanni Soto, and possibly adding Jurickson Profar to the lineup. They'll have to figure out their middle infield situation of Kinsler, Anderson, Profar, but I could see it as Kinsler ending up in left field or first base with Anderson staying short and Profar moving second, although that would hinder Profar's value, who in the long term is a shortstop.
You know, they've got a lot of power in their lineup. They've got Adrian Beltre and Nelson Cruz. That's a great duo. They'll probably hit a good 60 to 70 home runs between those two. I mean, Nelson Cruz has shown that he has monster power, and Adrian Beltre is just a perennial all-star, so I think these guys could definitely put up lots of runs. And Mike Olt, too, is an up-and-coming young player that has a lot of power and could definitely contribute to the lineup. And now we're going to talk about the NL West. So we're going to start with the Colorado Rockies playing in Coors Field. What do you think?
So the Rockies are probably one of the worst team in the NL West due to their lack of ability to find pitching. Their rotation is currently made up of Jorge De La Rosa, Julie Chassin, Drew Pomeranz, Juan Nicasio, and Jeff Francis. There are a lot of injury question marks there, and some young guys who could emerge, such as Pomeranz, Nicasio, and Chassin has had a good season in the past, but he was pretty brutal last year. The offense is, of course, will be solid basically due to the effects of Coors Field. But if you're to say that as a non-factor, they do have decent players in Tulowitzki, Kadir Helton still has some value, and Dexter Fowler and Carlos Gonzalez. They have quite a bit of power in the middle of that lineup. Will Rosario should be a nice second-year catcher for them. Although he won't provide much on-base ability, he does have quite a bit of power for a catcher. Max, what do you think about the Rockies?
This is definitely going to be a lost year for them. I mean, they have some good young players, but, you know, Carlos Gonzalez and Choi Tulowitzki, those guys, I mean, I don't see Carlos Gonzalez finishing the year in a Rocky uniform. Also, they have Dexter Fowler, who's he's a very athletic player, and I could definitely foresee a good year for him.
Okay, so now we'll go into the Padres, who are also one of the lesser teams in the NL West. The Padres are moving in their fences at Petco, just like the Mariners, so we should see a boost in offense there. There isn't a whole lot of excitement in the offense with Yasmani Grandal missing the first 50 games of the season, I believe, due to testing positive. They do have some interesting players in Alexi Amarista, who I think could be a top-of-the-line utility guy, or he can pretty much play any position on the diamond, except for catcher, of course. They also do have some promising young guys in Cameron Maben, Chase Headley, and Yonder Alonso, each of whom could break out this year. Well, Headley already has, but I see a lot of potential, as that could be a really strong core of a lineup down the road when they're contending again. Max, what do you think of their rotation?
I am not high on the San Diego Padres rotation. I mean, Edinson Volquez has had a couple good years, and Clayton Richard, I guess, has a bright future. But other than that, their rotation is just trash. I mean, Jason Marquis, Eric Stoltz, I mean, these guys have just, they just pick these guys up. They don't really have, they're weak.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see a lot coming out of this rotation. I mean, they should have decent results because of pitching in Petco, but
right.
They don't have the frontline starter that, such as Matt Latos, who they had in the past.
Right.
Especially with Tyson Ross and Eric Stoltz pitching at the back of your rotation. So next we'll move into the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks, of course, were a 94-win team in 2011, but did miss the playoffs last year, partly due to Justin Upton's struggles. So, Max, what do you think of the Diamondbacks' 2013 odds?
I don't think they could be decent. I mean, they have some potential. They have a lot of bats that could definitely wake up. Justin Upton, Paul Goldschmidt, I see a good year for him. And some of these guys are pretty underrated. Chris Johnson, I could see him doing pretty good. Aaron Hill definitely could contribute a lot, and I think that they could certainly make the playoffs, but I don't think that they will. I just think they can.
Yeah, I agree. This team definitely has the potential to be pretty good. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but they definitely are a contender. They have a glut of outfielders now with Cody Ross, in Gerardo Pera, Ross, Justin Upton, Jason Kubel, and I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but yeah. So, I mean, their offense is strong, of course, with Upton, Miguel Montero, Paul Goldschmidt, who I think is one of the underrated players in the league. Oh, yeah, Adam Eaton. He's the other, their minor leaguer, who I believe is going to be at top of the line center fielder someday, but he's blocked right now with Ross in center field, although Ross is very much going to be a train wreck defensively there. But back to Goldschmidt, I agree with Max. He has excellent potential. He's not exactly the prototypical first baseman, but he does have a strong glove, decent power, and solid on-base abilities. The rotation here is quite deep, even with the departure of Trevor Bauer. Ian Kennedy and Trevor Cahill lead it off, followed by Brandon McCarthy, Wade Miley, and rookie Tyler Skaggs. Kennedy, of course, had an extremely good 2011, but did not play as well in 2012. McCarthy is an injury risk, of course, but when on, he definitely has the potential to be a top-of-the-line starter. Miley's coming off a year that very easily could have won the Rookie of the Year if it weren't for Bryce Harper. And Cahill's another top-of-the-line starter. So that's four guys who could pitch at least number three starter level. And then there's Tyler Skaggs, who I don't believe he's going to impact much immediately, but down the road, he does have number two starter potential, and I'm quite a fan of his. Max, what do you think of the pitching on the D-backs?
They've got Ian Kennedy, who's obviously a stud. and Trevor Cahill, who's definitely proven in the past that he can be a great pitcher. Wade Miley, I loved his rookie season, but I think that he could definitely see a drop-off in his sophomore season. You know, how the MLB is. People drop off because everyone gets figured out at some point. And I could definitely see Brandon McCarthy having a strong year. Maybe not with a lot of wins, but I think with a good ERA and whip.
Okay, well, now we'll move on to the Dodgers. And Max, of course, is a big Dodgers fan. So, Max, why don't you take it away and explain the Dodgers' 2013 situation?
You know, the Dodgers definitely, you know, they made a lot of big acquisitions on this during this offseason. They picked up Hyun-Rin Ju, and Zach Greinke especially was a very, very big pickup. But I think that their bullpen is going to be weak this year. I don't see Brandon League making a very good, and just Javi Guerra isn't that great. None of these guys really stand out to me as someone that can shut someone down at the end of a game. So I think that the Dodgers could definitely use another bullpen arm. And some of their situation, you know, Carl Crawford's coming off Tommy John surgery. You know, they had some definitely had some surprises, though. I mean, Luis Cruz emerging at the end of the season, no one expected that. That guy definitely, I mean, he's definitely questionable for another good season, but he's a very exciting player to Dodger fans.
Yeah, I agree. This Dodgers team is quite good. The bullpen, I do agree with you, it's not very strong, especially paying 3 years, $21 million to Brandon League, a relief pitcher. It's not a very smart move. And then you have, of course, the health issues of Kenley Jansen, who had a bad heart at the end of last season, caused him to miss some time. The rotation is one of the best in baseball, of course, with Kershaw and Greinke forming one of the best 1-2 punches in the game, if not the best. Josh Beckett, I do worry about, but they do have plenty of rotation depth with Chad Billingsley and Chris Capuano also in the mix, as well as Aaron Ring. And we don't really know what the Dodgers are going to get out of Ryu yet, but scouts are saying that he could possibly be a number three starter, which, as a lefty, that could be valuable for the Dodgers. The offense, of course, is very strong with Adrian Gonzalez, Matt Kemp, Andre Ethier, Hanley Ramirez, and company. I believe AJ Ellis is one of the most underrated players on here. He posted an OBP, I believe, in the 360s or 370s last year, and that's something that this Dodgers team can desperately use, considering they don't have a true top-of-the-lineup guy. Mark Ellis is their current projected leadoff hitter, and I mean, he's good, but it'd be much better if they had a fully healthy Carl Crawford, who's going to be the big X player here. So, Max, what do you think ends up happening? Do the Dodgers make the playoffs or not?
I think I could see them making the playoffs either as a division or winner or as a wild card. But I don't think that they can, like, I don't think that they make a deep run just because of their bullpen woes if they don't make a trade or something to kind of seal the deal.
Moving lastly to the San Francisco Giants, the 2012 World Series winner. The Giants retain largely the same team that won them the series last year. Offense, of course, led by Buster Posey, Pablo Sandoval, and the up-and-coming Brandon Belt, who I'm quite a fan of. They have a deep bench with Hector Sanchez and Connor Gillespie. The rotation, of course, is always going to be a strength for them. They have guys who could... All five of their guys have pitched like aces at times, although Barry Zito is no longer an ace, but he proved serviceable as he did in the playoffs last season. Vogelsong, Bumgarner, and Kane are all going to be solid, most likely. Lincecum is probably the key player for the Giants, as if he returns to the Tim Lincecum of old, then they very well could have the best rotation in baseball, but if he pitches like last season, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen. If I was the Giants management, I would be thinking of putting Tim Lincecum in the Goose Gossage mold of the long reliever who pitches roughly 120 innings a year. That would, as Lincecum did in the playoffs last season, that could really maximize his value. And, of course, they have a strong bullpen. So, Max, what do you think of the Dodgers' rivals, Giants?
you know, they're going to play a lot of low-scoring games, which is obviously their strength. That really strong rotation, and their hitters, you know, Buster Posey led the league in batting average last year. Pablo Sandoval, he can obviously do great things, and you know, they're definitely going to have another strong season out there in San Francisco.
Okay, so we spent quite a bit of time on that, so we'll move on now to the 2013 Hall of Fame ballot. That will be announced January 9th, I believe. I have a piece coming out with my picks on Inside the MLB on January 7th. So look for it there. There are quite a bit of worthy candidates here. I count roughly 14, 15 guys that I would consider voting for. Of course, the steroid players such as Bonds and Clemens now come into the question. I personally hold the stance that I would vote for Bonds and Clemens. I feel Bonds, if steroids aside and everything, very well may have been the best possible player of all time once you consider adjust for eras and overall play. Yeah, I see. I believe I voted for rough 13 guys that I said I'd put in Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Alan Trammell, Edgar Martinez, Larry Walker, Mark McGwire, Craig Biggio, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Kenny Lofton, Mike Piazza, Curt Schilling, as well as Sammy Sosa. So Max, what do you think of this controversial ballot, and who would you vote for?
There are a lot of worthy candidates in this ballot that I can see. You know, there are differences between a lot of these possible steroid users, but, you know, everyone was doing it at the time, so I think that the best players of the era should make it. You know, when I look at this ballot, some names jump out at me. Jeff Bagwell definitely jumps out at me. Barry Bonds, obviously. I could see Edgar Martinez, maybe one of the greatest DHs in history to this point. Let's see. I mean, some of these guys definitely aren't deserving, but, you know, Craig Biggio, 3,000 hits, he was a great second baseman for the Astros, Killer Bees. It would be great to see the Killer Bees, Bagwell and Biggio be inducted in the same year, I think. And Clemens had a great career before he started doing steroids, but I think that, I mean, everyone knows he did it, but, Clemens, that's just a tough call. I think that he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he will. I mean, all these writers are just so anti-steroids, it's crazy.
Yeah, as we've seen, some writers are dismissing players such as Mike Piazza and Jeff Bagwell for the accusations of steroids, although there is no hard evidence whatsoever that they did take steroids, and both are solid Hall of Famers. Max, I'd like to particularly talk about Larry Walker, who's an interesting case here. He's a real borderline candidate. Walker, of course, played for the Colorado Rockies, Montreal Expos, and later the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
What do you think about his Hall of Fame candidacy?
Larry Walker, I mean, he was a great, great player in his time. I mean, that's a guy who won the MVP in 97. I mean, he wasn't really that much of a home run hitter for his time, but he also stole lots of bases, great batting average. I mean, he hit for 300 many times in his career, and he's also, but I mean, many of his writers, I don't think he'll make it this year, but maybe eventually, because a lot of these writers think, oh, he played at Coors Field. I mean, all of his home runs were probably just pop-ups in most parks, but I think that he should be a strong candidate for many years to come.
Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he has 69.7 wins above replacement. That's definitely above Hall of Fame standards, and he had that great peak even in the heart of the steroid era, especially in 1997, in which he hit 49 home runs, posted a 1.172 OPS, and pretty much dominated the league. He's a three-time batting champion, hit plenty of doubles, of course revived that Montreal franchise during their run in the early 90s, and helped the Rockies reach the playoffs in 1997. So yeah, I'm for Walker in the Hall of Fame. But yeah, I do think it's going to be hard for him to get in. Next, we'll take your questions. Okay, we did get one question on Twitter from Eric Flores, @MadeOfTwain. He asked, who's better, Mike Trout or Mike Trout? So I'd like to take a moment to discuss Mike Trout's greatness. Max, how good is Mike Trout?
Man, he is just phenomenal. He's a star.
Yeah, I think he's the best player in baseball, of course. So, if you want to send us questions, please tweet it to us at @JustinMar1. And Max, what's your Twitter handle?
Don't tweet me.
Max's Twitter is actually @MaxChase7. So, actually, do tweet him. It would be nice. So, now we're going to talk about Giancarlo Stanton, who, of course, the Miami Marlins have dealt away pretty much their entire team except for him. And he could be on the move next, possibly, if not this offseason, next offseason. So, what's it going to take to get him, Max?
A lot. He is a very, very good young player, and it's going to take some top prospects to lure him out of Miami, out of the hands of those guys down there, Loria, I think, right? That's his name?
Yeah, Jeffrey Loria.
Right. And so, you know, Giancarlo Stanton obviously wants to get out of there. I mean, he has nothing around him. So any move that could get them to trade him would probably work. So
yeah, I think it's going to be extremely hard to get him, especially considering how many years of control he has left. I believe he has roughly four, including one that is pre-arbitration. So you'll basically be getting him at the league minimum. And he is one of the few players with extremely star upside. In fact, I'd probably rank him just in the tier below Harper and Trout. So I think I actually see three teams that do have a package that could possibly get Stanton, although I doubt any of them make the move. I see the Padres as a potential candidate, although I don't think they will acquire him, but they do have the pieces in plenty of their prospects, such as Austin Hedges, Max Fried, who won't be able to be traded till next summer, though. And Ryan Liriano, and of course, young first baseman and Yonder Alonso, and Cameron Maven, as we discussed earlier. The Rangers also have quite a bit to offer, and I'm sure they have to deal at least one of Profar and Andrus, likely Profar, probably something along the lines of Profar, Mike Olt, and a few other good prospects. The team that I think has the best chance of winning the Giancarlo Stanton sweepstakes when it comes down to it is the St. Louis Cardinals, who do have that system is absolutely loaded. Of course, it would have to start with Oscar Tavares and Shelby Miller, and they have quite a bit of other pieces in that system, such as Carlos Martinez, Tyrell Jenkins, and Trevor Rosenthal. So, in our last segment, we'll talk about our World Series picks for 2013, our early picks here. Max, who do you think are the early frontrunners for the 2013 World Series?
As frontrunners, I could see anyone who comes out of the AL East alive. I mean, the Blue Jays, if they end up winning, or the Yankees, or the Rays, either of those teams, if they win the division, they could go all the way, I'm sure. And I also like the Tigers as a candidate. I mean, they have the perennial best pitcher in baseball, Justin Verlander, and Triple Crown winner, Miguel Cabrera. So I think we could definitely see them late in the postseason again.
Yeah, I agree. Those team Tigers are definitely very good, very star heavy. I'll go with the Washington Nationals. I think there's going to be a huge upgrade from Bryce Harper, and their team was a 96-win team last year. They're extremely young. They've added Denard Span and Dan Heron. So I think the Nationals could win 100 games next year and very well could win their first World Series in Washington. So that'll be it for the first edition of the Inside the MLB podcast. Thank you for listening, if don't anyone actually is it. Listening.
If anyone, thank you, listener, if you just know that you are alone. Visit InsideTheMLB.com, tweet JustinMillar1, don't tweet me, and keep baseballing. See ya.
See you on the next podcast. Thank you.